Welcome to the In the Limelight podcast. I'm your host, Clarissa Burt, and every week I bring you great information from fabulous people that I get to meet all over the world. I interview public figures, influencers, entrepreneurs, thought leaders, millionaires, and moguls that share their know-how, tipping points, pivotal moments, and life lessons. I promise you educative, empowering, and entertaining conversations with entrepreneurs that have a social conscience. Don't forget to find me on social. You can find me pretty much everywhere. Facebook, it's Clarissa Burt Official. Also, sign up for my newsletter at clarissaburt.com. That way you can keep abreast of the In the Limelight media as it's coming out. And you'll be getting my weekly newsletter along with the In the Limelight magazine every quarter. Check out inthelimelightmedia.com.
Hey everybody, it's Clarissa here, and I've got to put in my headphones. Okay. All right. Well, they're in now. Heavens to Murgatroyd. There are just so many moving parts on this whole thing in the beginning, but it's good to see you here. We are going live. Something that we very rarely do, actually. We don't go live much, but we're going to be doing a lot more of that in 2021. Very exciting guest today. We're starting to move a lot toward authors, and I'm going to be creating a whole show around people that have books and authors. So you're going to want to stay tuned for that as well. Really cool thing that you should know is that these videos can be seen on Apple TV, Android TV. We're on Zumo, Pluto, Amazon Fire. We're all at Roku. So that's really cool. So as of 2001, we've moved ahead now very quickly into all the OTT platforms. So these videos that you see now live, you'll be able to see them over there as well, which is really cool. The podcast of this interview can be heard on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, Stitcher, Spotify, Pandora, and Podbean. And you're not going to want to forget to get over to clarissaburt.com, where you can see the In the Limelight magazine. It is intelligent media for the savvy entrepreneur, where we have Orazio Pagani on the cover. It is he is a supercar and a hypercar maker, friend of mine in Italy. And so he was so kind to let us use his likeness for the cover. And we have a fabulous story in there about him as well. If you ever want to write for the magazine, do let us know. As I said, it is all about entrepreneurs, and authors are entrepreneurs too. So I do, before we bring on the guest, I want to remind you also that I'm using this really new cool software for PR purposes and getting the word out and press releases and all kinds of things so that you can connect with journalists all over the world. It is called mynewsdesk.com. It is really helping me a lot with everything that I'm doing here at In the Limelight. So you can put out press releases. This is a way to get your story covered. You've got billions of resources that you are able to access through my news desk. And it's just a really cool tool. You're going to want to get over there and check that out. Well, without further ado, I am going to bring in our guest because I was really intrigued, not only because of the Italian connection. You know that I've lived in Italy, or had lived in Italy for 30 years. But, you know, he's got an Italian last name and he's lived in Italy and he's just a superstar, I got to tell you. But I'm thrilled to have him on the show, too. There he is, Andrew Cotto. Nice. Cotto meaning cooked. You are cooked, nice. Sir.
Cotto. I am
Cotto. Hello, Andrew. Welcome to the show. So I want to hear, hi there. Listen, you are an award-winning novelist, which is, I want to hear a lot more about that. You are a regular contributor to the New York Times. You have written for a Parade, Men's Journal, Rolling Stone, La Cucina Italiana, go figure. The Good Man Project, I want to hear more about that too. Condé Nast Traveler, Italy Magazine, AARP, and even for Rachel Ray's magazine. You're coming to us live from Brooklyn now. Give us a little bit of an idea as to what it's like to be you.
Oh, that's a great question. What it's like to be is, well, these days being anybody is a little bit different, right? So, my life is sort of, you know, like a lot of lives these days, sort of on an alternate track. I'm basically what I feel like I'm on sabbatical, it feels like, right. And I'm using this time, to, of course, remain safe, but also to be really productive. I mean, I know your focus is often on entrepreneurship, and I'm really using this opportunity to write and write and write, to prioritize the things in my life that matter most to me, right. Come out of it, I hope, you know, in just, you know, a better place. I mean, I know it's really an unfortunate circumstance for lots of people, but I'm using it as an opportunity just to better myself, to advance my career, to you know, enrich my relationships with people. And I feel like I'm doing a pretty good job of it so far.
Right. Awesome. Well, I just want to let you know, we've got a couple of comments coming in from Italy. We have Fabiola Peregali, who's saying buona serata. We have Emilio Padovani, who is saying peccato che non solo inglese, un saluto dal web dinosauro di Sasso. So hello, Emilio. He's sorry he's not speaking English, but we say hello to him as well. Pino Gigante. Ciao. Pino Gigante has a huge kiss for me. I don't know about for you, but I'll kiss you. So it's kind of like it.
I'll take it.
You'll take it. So you lived in Italy. So tell us about the years that you lived in Italy and how that helped form and formulate some of the works that you did later.
Yeah, I mean, it's that year in Italy is the most important one of my life, I believe. And I was, when I got out of college, I really wanted to be a teacher and a writer. It was my dream. But I also didn't want to be a starving artist. You know, and I kind of chickened out, and I took a job in the entertainment industry, which is a job I really liked. It was a wonderful position. I was in sales and marketing, and I was traveling and meeting wonderful people, and I enjoyed it very, very much.
Right.
But I went, sort of coincidentally, I won a trip through the company I worked for. I won a contest, and the contest was, you can go anywhere. You can go on a cruise, right? And I didn't want to go on a cruise. I don't want to sit on a boat, you know, in tiny rooms and eat buffets.
Not my favorite either.
You know, the money instead, I want to go to Italy. I'd never been to Italy. You know, I'm Italian American. I'd never stepped foot in the country of Italy until I was in my late 20s. I went for the first time, and I was there for 2 days. And I said, I'm living here. You know, I'm not, you know, going to live the rest of my life without having lived for a while in Italy. And 3 years later, I quit my job and moved to the hills south of Florence to live for a year and write my first novel. And I did. I wrote my first book, The Domino Effect, is a coming-of-age story. And I wrote it entirely while living in Italy and sort of immersing myself in
the culture,
the splendor of what's available there. And I was intended on coming home. You know, I wasn't going to become an expat yet. But I also just realized when I was there, just, you know, how important it is to at least adopt as much of that kind of lifestyle that I lived there that I could and incorporate it into what I was doing at home.
Right.
It also really informed my writing. I mean, everything I've written since then has really been, even if it's not directly about Italy, is about that sort of that way of life.
You know, right. Yeah.
That importance of family and good food and just, you know, living life slowly. So it's been in all my books ever since, including the one that came out a couple of years ago that's set in Italy. It's very much about an American who goes there on holiday and says he's not leaving. And in that case, he doesn't go home at all.
Okay. So that would be the Cucina Italiana. Cucina Tipica, an Italian adventure. Forgive me for that. Yeah. So I mean, you know, as I had told you pre-show, I lived in Italy for 30 years. So I know pretty much every nook and cranny. And I think it's one of the most splendid places for sure on the planet. Yeah. I also, Andrew, just so you know, I decided that I wanted to be an Italian citizen as well. So
me too.
I am an Italian citizen. No Italian blood. No Italian blood, but I am an Italian citizen. Then we come to your latest work, which is your newest work. I think it dropped about 2 weeks ago, called Black Irish Blues. So we went from being from Italian to Irish.
I know. One of the things that's sort of the burden on my career as a writer is that I jump genres all the time. You know, I should have just been like a romance writer or something and just wrote romance books. But so I jump all over the place. You know, my second book, my first one was a coming of age novel, which I mentioned, The Domino Effect.
Right.
There's Cucina Tipica, of course, which is a travel adventure story. Between those two was a book called Attleboro Blues, A Brooklyn Mystery. It's a noir. I really like the mystery genre a lot. Not like, you know, whodunit mysteries, but, you know, you know, sort of more second, you know, like, you know, real life type, you know, noir, you know, people on the fringes of society. And Attleboro Blues, A Brooklyn Mystery, is set in Brooklyn, obviously, on the dawn of gentrification in the 90s. And the protagonist is not a detective, but a chef.
Right.
And he sort of uses foods as his means of communication. And I wrote the sequel to that, Black Irish Blues. And that just came out a couple weeks ago. It's the same character. He returns to his hometown in New Jersey to sort of redeem his family's Sicilian curse.
Wow.
Yeah.
Interesting.
It's really
very
fun.
Interesting. Well, I'll tell you that I'm Irish and I'm from Jersey. So there's a little bit, and I think they call me Black Irish because I have dark hair, but I could be wrong and I digress.
I think that you would qualify. I mean, Black Irish is a dated term, but it refers to people from Ireland who almost look Italian and their hair is black, right? Right. It's sort of the black hair, blue eyes, you know, what was the quarterback for the Packers is Black Irish, right? With Rogers, that's his name, right? Black Irish. Paul Ryan, the congressman.
Black
Irish, right? You don't hear the term very much anymore, but it exists. And when the story
right.
is about someone of that background and who's sort of the center of the mystery.
Right. So then when the book dropped a couple of weeks ago, you did this fabulous Instagram event where you were, you know, you were reading some passages from the book and you had someone playing music there and this lovely woman who was singing, I believe.
Yeah. Yes.
What an event. It was such a happening.
I mean, that's one of the things we were talking about, like, you know, what we're doing during these times, you know, like I never would have thought of that. So when I had the Cucina Tipica book release party, I had an event. I like party. I think book readings can be kind of boring, right? You go to a bookstore, there's like a bottle of wine and a bucket of ice and some crackers, sit there quietly, and you read a chapter, and then they clap, right? And then you sign books, everybody goes home.
Right.
I don't find this particularly fun, and I like to have fun. So I threw a party for the Cucina Tipica release, and the 200 people came. It was at a music venue in Brooklyn, you know, and that woman who appeared at my party, her name is Betty Smith. She's a soul and rock singer. Just an incredible talent and a really dear friend of mine. We're pals. Right. We're neighbors in Brooklyn. We hang out. We eat together. We have fun. And so she played that party. Then she also came over for my Black Irish Blues Instagram Facebook party. And she sang. I don't know if you caught this before, but I actually played with a couple songs with her too.
I didn't watch the whole thing. I have to be honest because I know your reading must have been, I'm going to say it was a good 20 minutes, if not more.
Yeah, it was a little lengthy.
I listened to the whole thing, but eventually I had to get back to work.
The whole event is on YouTube, on my YouTube channel, so if you want to see it. So Betty sang with her guitarist, Curtis J, who's also my friend. They came over, and I played two songs with them, because I play a really bad guitar, though I don't want to, you know, deny myself the opportunity to play it. And then they played two more songs while I made dinner. I fried lamb chops. I made fried lamb chops. That's what I did during the
I saw that. I think I saw it. Yeah, I saw that.
That part was you're missing. I saw that part. I did a series during the first 3 or 4 months of the lockdown called The Aperitivo Hour out of my kitchen in where I would read passages from my books that had food in them. Right. And then I would cook what I made. Right? So I kind of emulated that with the book release party where I read a passage that had fried lamb chops in it. Right? And then I made, after when Betty and Curtis were still playing, finishing up their set, I made the fried lamb chops and I demonstrated
how funny is that?
The audience. Yeah.
So it's like a couple more things.
Food, music, books, friends, right?
Absolutely. We got Salvatore Romano coming in and saying, saluti dall'Italia. So he's saying hello. We've got Elenia Nardo is saying Clarissa Burt, so she's giving a shout out. Uh-huh. And then we have Salvo Bonvegna, who's saying, ciao ogni tanto ti seguo, sempre splendida ed eclectica. So he's saying, I follow you and you're always splendid and eclectic. Well, that's interesting to know. Ciao a tutti gli italiani che ci seguono. So, and Andrew Cotto, anche lui è italiano. Titolo americano, ma è Italian. Do you know where your people are from?
Yeah, my mother's family is from Messina in Sicily.
Messina, okay.
And my father's family is actually from Piemonte, from Asti.
Piemonte, wow, the whole...
I know, I cover the entire...
Way, way north and way, way south.
I know, this is probably why I ended up in Florence, like right in the middle.
Dice Carmine, parlate un po' in italiano ora. Do you speak Italian?
Sì, posso parlare italiano.
Dai, parliamo in italiano, così gli italiani che ci seguono sono felici. Ciao! Ciao Italia! Allora, Andrew sta a Brooklyn, a Brooklino, credo che si chiama Brooklino, a Brooklyn, a New York, e io sto a Phoenix, in Arizona. Vi seguiamo, vi ringraziamo dell'attenzione. Parlate un po' in italiano. Ok, Carmine, sarai contento ora. Perfetto. So let's get back to English for the people in the United States as well.
One thing you
Andrew, they're saying hello to you, Andrew. Okay. Go ahead, love.
One thing I should tell the Italians is that one of my novels was translated into Italian. Attleboro Blues, the one I was referring to, the first in that series, my noir series, was translated into Italian by a company called Iona Editore out of Torino. In Italian. I read from it on my YouTube channel. There's a passage of me reading from it out of the Italian bookstore up in Boston called I Am Books. It's in Italian. You can see me reading from in Italian on YouTube, or you can just purchase it. It's on Amazon.
Uno dei libri di Andrew è stato tradotto in italiano, è quello che si chiama Attleboro Blues.
The nome è italiano è Brooklyn Mystery.
Brooklyn Mystery, okay.
Perfetto.
Ciao, Clarissa, sono Vito. Bravissima. Ciao, Vito. Hello, everybody. Okay, quindi, so let's get back to you because we could be in Italy all day with between you and myself. I want to know what's the hardest thing about being a writer, because I'm not a writer. I'm a talker. I'm not a writer. I'll never sit down and write. In fact, I've got a book now that we've got the manuscript going in 2 weeks, but I have a ghostwriter. I'm going to be really honest about that. So what does it take to be a writer? The thinking, the meditating, the writing, the correcting, the I love it, the I hate it, the process.
I think I'm a talker too. I probably should have stuck to talking. It's hard. I mean, it's just a necessity, right? I don't think I couldn't not write. I mean, my ambition is to communicate with people. I have this need to sort of, I also teach, I'm a professor of English. So like, I like, being with people, seeing them, communicating, exchanging ideas. I also like to be the center of attention. I want to be the person who's telling the story, not just listening to the story. And I had this need to tell stories. It's been with me, my whole life. And that's, I resisted it, as I mentioned earlier, and I went into the corporate world. It just was just coming out of me. So I had to do it. So the way it is done, I find, is through constant engagement. And when people ask me I want to write, I say, are you ready to write every single day? And I don't mean every single day, 365, I just mean like to really write on a regular basis, to get your butt in that chair where you do your work, right, every day. Not only because that's how you get things done, that's because the process works, right? If you're not engaged, if you're not immersed in it, right, you're not following it every single day and engaging in it in some way or form on a regular basis, right, it's not going to happen. Right. So when I'm writing a story, I'm writing it every day, not just I want to get it done, but because I know that ideas are going to come to me when I'm sleeping. The ideas are going to come to me when I'm exercising. Ideas are going to come to me when I'm cooking. Right. So it never leaves me. It stays with me. And therefore, when I sit down to do my writing, it's all waiting there for me.
Yeah. So when you drop a book like you just did 2 weeks ago, when Black Irish Blues dropped 2 weeks ago, I know you have to go then into a promotional process, and I get that, but it's kind of like, whew, now I don't have to think about it, my next book, for a couple of weeks, months, years, or are you already on, the next opera?
Always. I mean, I'm always engaged in a narrative, whether I'm physically writing it or formulating it in my head, but mostly I'm always physically writing the books because I'm formulating in my head while I'm writing, right? I mean, I have a sequel to Cucina Tipica coming out in a few months in March, right? I'm already working on another book now. I'm writing a book called Pasta Mike. It's a work of fiction, but it's about a really dear friend of mine who we lost, as a matter of fact, 8 years ago yesterday. And it's really about, friendship and the power of friendship on people. And I was trying to write it in a memoirish way, and it was just too painful. So I've sort of adapted it to fiction, and that's what I'm working on now. And before we got on this interview, I was writing this morning, so it's with me every day.
So the work is cathartic. The work is, I can't imagine that there's no way that you can sit down and write and you're not pulling from things that have happened in your past, not necessarily what's happening now or what just, clicked for you last week. I'm talking about stuff, stuff that's been stuffed.
I mean, I'm mining my own experiences for the parts of the story, and then I fill them in with my imagination to make them, more compelling or less revealing, or what have you. Like, I write fiction, right? But the fiction is very much my kind of fiction. I don't write stuff like in fantasy worlds, you know, or in dystopian places. I write books that happen to people like us, right? You know, in everyday life, in contemporary times as well. And, you know, I am drawing on my own experiences and things that go back. One of the things I think that allows me to be a writer, and I think every writer who ventures into this vocation agrees that they have really good memories, right? Or at least they have lots of things they remember. If they're accurate or not, I don't know. But, like, you know, I'm pulling from my memories, you know. And it's funny, I'll write a story, and one of my friends went, "Oh my God, I totally forgot about that." And we were like 8 when that happened, right? And I'll be like, "Oh yeah, I remembered very well, right? I remember the way someone used to say, you know, in Black Irish Blues, the character says, 'Jesus, Mary and Joseph,' which you might have heard growing up."
Oh my God, my parents said that all the time.
Yeah, like, and I feel like no one says it anymore, but I remember my friend's mother, right, saying that all the time.
Like, all the time.
So it's like the smallest little details about the way people, you know, say things, or the way they comport themselves, so, you know, that I just remember. I had this whole, you know, collection of memories, you know, of people, places, and things that I incorporate into my stories, and it's fun to get them out, and it is cathartic. You know, it's nice to reflect, you know, and to portray people that are meaningful to me. You know, I've used my father, I've used my uncles, I've used, you know, people, you know, ex-girlfriends, etc. You know, like, I mean, people, like, you know, it's fun to sort of,
they're,
you know,
in your life for a reason, right? They're in your life for a reason,
right? And I think it's nice that they've made an indelible impact on me. I still remember, you know, the way I felt around them.
Absolutely. Well, listen, we wish you all the luck with Black Irish Blues. I do want you to let everybody know how they can find you on social and where we can find the book.
Yeah, I'm all over social. I mean, and I follow everybody back. You know, I love interacting. You know, it's been a great part of this experience. It's been building my social media base. I'm on everything, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, as Andrew Cotto, one word, AndrewCotto, Cotto. I have a website, andrewcotto.com. All the books are available everywhere. And of course, Amazon is where most people buy their books. But, you know, if you want to support your local bookstores, you know, they probably don't have it on the shelf, right, but you can ask them to order it. It's available, you know, nationally, internationally, you know, through major distributors. So if you ask your local bookstore to order your copy for you, they will. Otherwise, of course, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, you know, the regular places.
Awesome. Well, I do want to thank you again. And yeah, let's follow each other on social and let us know when the next book comes out. We definitely want to know about that. All right.
Sure. It'll be in March. It's called Cucina Romana. It's set in Rome. Same characters from Cucina Tipica. And I'll definitely let you know and get you a copy.
Let me know. We'll get you back on. I appreciate your time, Andrew. Thank you. We'll talk to you guys next. There's going to be some more lives coming up today, everybody. I just decided we were going to do a couple of more lives during the day. So stay tuned for that. We'll be talking to you again very soon. Andrew, again, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the In the Limelight podcast, intelligent media for the savvy entrepreneur. You can listen to this and all of my podcasts on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, Pandora, and Inspired News Radio. You'll find all of my videos and the In the Limelight digital magazine on clarissabert.com. And don't forget to connect with me on social pretty much anywhere. Stay well until we meet again in the limelight.
Hi.